Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, at some point in our lives, we have all wondered what it would be like to be famous, to be a celebrity. And there may be a couple of reasons why we have wondered about that. Maybe it's because of all the money, all the fame, all the prestige that these people have. But as you also know, the lifestyle of the rich and the famous is not always that glorious. People are constantly taking pictures of them. People are constantly walking up to them asking for an autograph. People are constantly scrutinizing every single thing that they do. And so a lot of celebrities, a lot of those who are famous, just want people to leave them alone. Now, Jesus back in his day was very popular and famous. People were constantly coming to Jesus. But unlike these celebrities who don't want people to bother them, Jesus' heart went out to these people. He wanted to reach out to them. In some ways, he would do this by going up on a mountainside and preaching the gospel to them. But in other times, to reach out to them, he would sit down with them and eat with them. He did this for Mary and Martha. He did this for Zacchaeus and Matthew, who were tax collectors. Jesus had the reputation of someone who would eat with sinners. But here, Jesus is invited to a meal at the house of a very prominent Pharisee. But notice what the Pharisees were doing. Jesus was being carefully watched. The Pharisees were watching Jesus very closely. They were looking to see if he would do anything that they could scrutinize about him. If he would do anything wrong, that they could bring up an accusation against him. But the Pharisees were not the only ones who were watching very closely. So also was Jesus. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Jesus saw their actions, and he would scrutinize what they were doing by telling them this parable, by reaching out to them and to show them that true humility is honored and rewarded. So let's listen to Jesus' parable once again. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. The Pharisees were doing the complete opposite of what this parable says. The Pharisees were desperately trying to get these places of honor to sit at. And you can just visualize them rushing toward these seats, arguing among themselves about who truly deserved to sit at this spot and this spot. Basically, they're acting like a bunch of children arguing over this prominent place. And they don't even understand that it wasn't even up to them to decide who would get these places of honor. The host would decide who would sit where. And that's why, very likely, Jesus picked the image of a wedding for his parable. Just think about the weddings that we attend to nowadays. Almost at every wedding that we go to, there are assigned seats for the meal. The head table is reserved for the bride and the groom, the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. And then the next few tables are reserved for parents, grandparents, siblings, and close friends. And then there are tables that are reserved more toward the back. Now imagine if you had a seat that was reserved toward the back and you tried to sit next to the bride and the groom. What is going to happen? You wouldn't stay there for long. You would be told to go back to your seat and you would be humiliated in front of everyone. But now on the flip side, imagine if you were the best man or the maid of honor and you decide to sit towards the back of the room. What's going to happen? You wouldn't stay there for long. Instead, you would be told to come forward to the head table and you would be honored in front of everyone. That's the basic story of this parable. But why does Jesus speak this parable? Is Jesus trying to teach the Pharisees proper etiquette at a meal? No. Because remember what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what's the heavenly meaning of Jesus' parable? Well, it's exactly what Jesus said. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The heavenly meaning of this parable is that true humility is honored. The Pharisees needed to hear that because most of the Pharisees in Jesus' day were not truly humble. Almost everything that they did was simply for show, to be honored by the people, to prove that they were better than others. And the Pharisees thought that God would look at their actions, he would look at their humility, and he would honor them. But God, looking at their actions, would not honor them, but he would humiliate them forever by separating them from his presence. That's the warning that Jesus gave to the Pharisees, and that's the warning he gives to you and to me as well. Are we truly humble? Do we think that we are truly humble? To be truly humble is one of the hardest things for us to do. In fact, it can basically be impossible to be truly humble because deep down we desire, we crave to be honored by others. And that shows itself in many different ways. For instance, when we do something and we are not recognized for it, we can go out of our way to tell everyone what we have done so that we will receive honor and praise for what we have done. That's not being truly humble. Or maybe you don't cause a scene by telling everyone what you have done. But when someone else does something and they are honored for it, you can think to yourself, why is that person honored for what he does? And I'm not. I'm the one who deserves that honor. Don't people realize what I do? And after all, I would have done a much better job than what that person has done. That's not being truly humble. Or we may automatically think that we are better than others. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's very true that we can think, at least I'm not as bad as others. I am more humble than them. I haven't committed these big, gross sins that people have done. In fact, most of the sins that I have committed don't even bother anyone. So sure, I'm not perfect. I may not be the most humble, but at least I'm more humble than them. That is not true humility. Or one more example. After we hear this parable of Jesus telling us, don't desire these places of honor, but take the least important spot, we may try to be humble, but our only reason, our only motive is to receive that honor from others. So we will go out of our way to make ourselves humble, just to receive that praise. That is not true humility. And just like the Pharisees, we can think that God will look at our humility and what we have done and he will honor us. But there is no reason for God to honor us because we are not truly humble. We only deserve to be humiliated by him by having him remove us from his presence. But there was one man who was truly and completely humble. And you know who that was. It was Jesus. And it's one thing to say that Jesus was truly humble. It's another thing to really look at how humble he was. Appreciate Christ's humiliation. Christ left all the glory and the honor of heaven to be born like one of us. And his birth was not that glorious or honorable. Even though Jesus was very popular among the people, he never thought, it's about time I got the recognition that I deserve. His heart was not focused only on himself. His heart went out to the people. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Even when Jesus healed people, most of the time he told them not to tell others what he had done. Because he didn't want to receive that praise from others. He wasn't concerned about being honored that he could do miracles. Even though Jesus was perfect and deserved honor and glory from everyone, even he considered others greater than him. And the ultimate form of Christ's humiliation was his shameful death on the cross. And I don't think we really appreciate and understand how shameful that death was. Nowadays, we look at the symbol of the cross and we see great comfort and victory. But back in Jesus' day, they viewed someone dying on the cross the same way we view those who die by the electric chair or lethal injection. We think only the worst of the worst, the scum of the earth, would die in that way. And that's all the shame that Jesus endured for you and me, so that he may die to take away all of our sins. And after Jesus humbled himself for us, Scripture says God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. After Jesus humbled himself, God honored and exalted him. And God promises that everyone else who is truly humble, he will also honor. So will we be honored by God? After all, we looked at how miserably we fail to be truly humble. We see how impossible it is to be truly humble. But what is impossible for us, Christ has accomplished for us. He lived that perfect life to be truly humble for our sake. And therefore, God encourages us to simply come before him with a humble and penitent heart. He encourages us to say to him, Lord, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and I do not deserve to be called your child. But Lord, I humbly ask for your forgiveness, and I trust in Jesus as my Savior. It is those who humble themselves in this way, who come before God with a humble heart and trust in him for salvation, that God will honor in his presence forever. But this account doesn't end there. To be truly humble does not just mean to have a humble heart and to have a humble attitude. To be truly humble also shows itself in humble actions. It is this true humility that is honored and rewarded. Jesus said to the host of this party, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus' point is not that it's wrong to host a meal for your friends, your family, and your neighbors. Jesus' point is that don't do any of these things for people expecting to receive something back from them. And once again, that can be very hard for us to do. So often before we do something for someone, we can think, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? And if that's our motive for doing something for others, that's not being truly humble. So what's the remedy? What's the solution to this problem? It's by looking to Christ and His love, looking at what Christ did for us. For everything that Christ did for us, He never thought, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? No, everything that He did only for our benefit. And therefore, it is Christ and His love that He has given us that will compel and motivate us to do things for others for their benefit and not for ours. As a church, we have done that. Remember a few weeks ago, we had a donation for the New Life Resource Center in La Crosse. And we did not do that expecting that center to give something back to us. Or when we have a free will offering, we don't give the money to help someone expecting to receive that same amount of money that we had given to them. But that's just a few things that we do as a church. There are many more things that you personally can do for the benefit of others in your lives. And God tells us all to open our eyes and to see those opportunities. And it doesn't have to be something massive or huge. It could be something very simple. It could be something as simple as just giving a call to someone and asking them how they are doing. It can be as simple as visiting someone who is lonely, who is going through hard times, who's in the hospital or in the nursing home. It could be something as simple as handing a cup of cold water to someone. And Jesus says not to worry or be concerned about being rewarded and repaid by them. For at the resurrection, on the last day, God will be the one who will repay and reward us. Not because our actions have earned or deserved it, but because our actions are fruits of faith. Fruits of love that we produce for God by listening to His word and obeying His commands. And God will remember them all. And on the last day, He will say, everything that you did for me. And we will say to Jesus, Lord, when did we ever do these things for you? And He will say, whatever you did for these people, the blind, the crippled, the poor, and everyone else, you did out of love for me. Therefore, God will honor us in front of everyone, and He will reward us with all the glories and the riches of heaven forever. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as you leave this church, be truly humble. Do not desire to be honored in the eyes of others. Do not do things for others so that they will repay you. Instead, let Christ and His love and what He has done for us be our motivation to be truly humble. Consider others greater than yourselves. Do things for others for their benefit. And God will see your humility. He will see your actions, and He will honor and reward you. For Christ Himself said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.